Welcome to Podheim, Jorok's Valheim podcast. Let's give him the business.
Hey everybody, today is August 1st, 2023. I'm your host, Jorok the Viking, and joining me today are my fellow Vikings, Gwen the Shield Maiden.
Hello.
We also have Shield Maiden, Morning Darkness.
Hi. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. It's still so bright behind me.
You usually record at night, don't you? So you don't have the sun coming in there.
Yeah. When I moved out here, I did not initially anticipate daytime recordings.
Yeah. We'll have to talk. You can get, you know how you have that big fold-out green screen? That's the kind that collapses down into a circle, right? Yeah, you can actually get a big black one, and then you could stick the big black one behind you and block out that window. I actually have like one or two in my garage because I've used them in video productions. But hey, Gwen, I love that colorful thing on your head there.
Yeah.
Are them real flowers?
No. No, and... Yeah, I guess, I can keep the story for when we actually talk about the hats. Or we can talk about the hats now. Up to you.
Well, first, Morning Darkness, can you give us a preview of some of the things that we're going to be talking about for Valheim today?
Absolutely. So, very exciting. There is a Hildur's Request release update.
Yep. Everybody's back from vacation, so we'll see what they say to us.
Yep. A new challenge event that Jorok is working on that I have to say I'm really excited for. Mm. And a surprise that Iron Gate programmer Jonathan Smars is considering.
Yeah.
So good and exciting things coming up in Valheim. I know people are like, when? But really, honestly, let's look at the, what's next?
it's a bigger update that I think people realize, so they're taking their time to really get it right, because there's a lot of new features coming that we'll talk about.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. But before we continue on, I just wanted to say that this episode is brought to you by Zydax Computers. I own one and I absolutely love it. And they have a lifetime parts and labor warranty. Just visit JorokTheViking.com/Zydax if you'd like to check them out. And there's me being goofy in front of my computer. Gwen, so tell us about... The flower hat. Oh, you got a little lower in frame there, I noticed. You're adjusting things over there. Did you lower your chair?
Because my OCD got to me. I noticed that we're not quite aligned. Like, our eye level is not aligned, and it was really bugging me.
Oh.
So while you were putting your little... Yeah, but like Jorok and I was like really high up there, and then it was like the Dalton family, it was going down and it was really bugging me. So while you had the other screen up showing your Zydax ad, I may have like tried to adjust things. I lowered my chair. But
now you have all this headroom up there with nothing.
Yeah, I lowered the chair a bit too much. So sorry about the vuffing. Here I am.
Well, now that we have it, this new format here, we're trying. It's a little like you get to see more of us instead of us in little tiny circles. So I thought I'd try it once and see if people like it. But also now, because when we switch to these shots, we get the big wide shot. So we get to see all that cool stuff in your room back there.
Yeah.
And you have a candle going. Like-
everywhere
right I and right above a, yeah. it you have hopefully that's metal and not plastic.
This is a fake candle, but it's so good, isn't it?
It like looks real
battery. It's one of my favorite things. It's like battery operated, just like a normal battery down there, and it's like a magnet.
Amazing.
So the magnet makes it move constantly. And it's just a little plastic thing that's like lit up, and it's great. It looks like a real candle. You've got it in the background. It adds a bit of visual interest and a bit of light.
You totally fooled me.
It doesn't burn anything. Yeah.
I was like, you got some like in that curtain or whatever, the wall there. I'm like, is that going to catch fire? But no.
No. I've got tons of those. I bought lots of fake candles for a big event, like Halloween event I organized a couple of years ago. And the venue wouldn't allow us to have, like, it was a historical venue, so it wouldn't allow us to have real fire. So I went and bought tons of fake candles, all battery operated, and kept some of them.
Did you get any of the supervisors for the event run over and say, "Hey, we said no real fire on the set." And you're like, no, they're fake.
No. I think they didn't bother. They saw that we had so many candles, because the whole idea, it was like the town hall, and it's like a very nice Victorian hall. So all wooden floors and like a wooden stage and everything. And so we filled the whole room with candles, because the theme was kind of like vampire ball type inspired. So there was candles everywhere. Bought so many, and I had to go around, turn them on one by one, and then turn them off one by one before and after the event. It was tedious.
I mean, you have to do the same thing with lighting and blowing out candles. So how is it really?
Yeah, that is true.
But it does look cool, so I'm sure you've got a good effect out there.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool event. But back to our hats. Yeah. I wanted to know about this.
Tell me about your hat.
Well, it's not really a hat, is it? It's like it's a headpiece, headwear. I think we had allowed headwear, mostly also because the hats, as you saw last week, it are really annoying to fit with the headphones.
Yeah.
And my Bluetooth. My AirPods don't, the battery doesn't last enough for a Podheim recording usually. Had to compromise a bit. But funnily enough, I was supposed to wear this for the Pride Month stream that we did in Morning Darkness. I ordered this and it only arrived like an hour into the stream.
Oh.
And my partner very kindly, because I had told him, like, look, I'm waiting for a parcel. I need to use it during the stream if it arrives when I'm already like on stream. Just like come in the room and hand it over to me. And he did, but I forgot to open it. It was just so like busy and intense during the stream that the box was there, and I took it and I didn't even bother opening it and getting this out. So yes, this was supposed to be the Pride Month stream headband, but I am going to be using it for many things, I'm sure, including a festival I'm going to this weekend. So,
cool.
I'll be reusing this.
Yeah, I like how colorful it is.
It is. Yeah,
it's like the rainbow colors.
Yeah, so. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. Yeah. Well, if we're just doing headwear, and if I Odin forbid I ever run out of hats, then I'll just start wrapping random things around my head or from my house. I think I have an extension cord, for my power, and just kind of wrap it around.
I would love to see that.
No. That'd be funny at least. But my hat is another summer, hat. Yep. And this one I got from Lake Tahoe. I'll nice. Show you, because now my camera has autofocus.
That's nice.
Like the heartbeat of California, they call it. It's like, and that's the outline of Lake Tahoe. And then underneath is like,
gorgeous.
Some rocks and water.
I'm actually going to Lake Tahoe at the end of the month.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we haven't done our summer Lake Tahoe trip yet, but we'll probably get up there some weekend. We usually get up there once or twice during. We did go to Reno though, so that was one of our summer trips, which is just a little ways past Lake Tahoe. But and of course, always gotta give them the business. Sometimes
you need to come up with new merch, or get yourself new merch so you can have like all your designs.
Oh yeah, like in the winter I wear my furry shawl thing, yes. Which is, let's see, can you see it on my wall behind me? Oh yeah, right.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's hanging
there. It's hanging
with all your hats. Yeah. Your bookshelf of hats.
Yes. and you can see there's one hat missing right there, and it's in case I get tired of my sun hat. I have this one standing by. nice. It's missing from that spot.
I love that.
I got that hat standing by if I need it, but I do
very nice.
I do like to keep the sun off me because I'm a pale ginger kid, so
Yeah, I like that hat. It's making me want to go on a nice sunny destination for holidays.
yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, I wear this or a cowboy hat or something with lots of shade when I'm out during the summer, especially. Let's see. So, Gwen, what have you been up to? It's been about, 3 weeks, I think, since the last recording.
Yeah, about that. Yeah. So I celebrated my birthday the Saturday after we recorded Podheim. Actually, the day that the last Podheim episode came out was my birthday. So yeah, had some nice celebrations with friends, and then
Gwen, I have to pause you. J-Rock, I'm gonna ask your forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
What's coming.
I'm sorry, Gwen. I have a tradition on my channel that when it's your birthday, I sing you an original birthday song that my mom came up with. So here we go. Hello and happy birthday to you. Hello and happy birthday to you. I hope your day is shining and brilliant like you. Hello and happy birthday, a very special birthday. Hello and happy birthday to you.
Yay!
Aww, thank you. I had heard it.
Sorry, I had to.
So for those who want to re-listen to this, you sang this original happy birthday song to Jules when we did his birthday stream back in January. And I made a shorts out of it, like a little clip. So for anyone who wants to listen to this again, go on my channel, go to my shorts and find the one that says something birthday. I can't remember how I named it, but it's easy to find.
I'd like to lobby the entire world to adopt that as the new birthday song, because the other one is so sad. Happy birthday. That one's so sad, you know? That one's much more fun.
I tell my mom that you said so.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, thank you, Morning Darkness.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
So your birthday, you celebrated. What all did you do?
Yes, as a birthday gift, I also got gifted a bit of an experience day. I prefer doing experiences rather than material things because, you know, being a grown adult that earns wage, I buy myself the things I need. So I also don't want to have like lots of useless things in the house. I try to be, you know, mindful of those things. So usually if my family or my partner asks for what I want for my birthday, I always say like, unless I have something that's actually on my list that I want to buy, I will just say,
or a new hat,
an experience. No, I don't need anymore.
You got too many hats. Yeah.
I'm running out of space to store them. Half
me too.
Of my dress up cupboard is hat. And every time I open that cupboard, all the hats, like the pile of hats that I have, just falls on me. It's not good. I don't need any more. So I usually try to go for experiences and things like that. So this year I got a workshop gifted to me of medieval illuminations. So you think of the crazy, wacky medieval manuscripts, the ones that the monks used to, you know, write with beautiful calligraphy. And then on the sides, they would have what they call marginalia, which is the really wacky drawings that they did to illustrate.
Yeah.
Really weird. Like, you could tell that those monks had a lot of time on their hands and maybe too much ale, because some of the drawings they did, it's like giant snails fighting rabbits, I don't know, dogs riding snails. It's just really weird stuff. So actually, I think last time we spoke about a game, Inkelinati, I mentioned a game that I wanted to try that is like based on that whole manuscripts, medieval manuscript art style.
Mm-hmm.
They were very inspired by that and did like a whole game with that style. But anyway, the workshop I did was with wonderful person called Hayao Burt over in the UK, who does calligraphy and also painting and also loads of other crafts. I saw him at multiple events and festivals, like medieval festivals and stuff that I went to. And I saw that he did workshops where he teaches people how to do calligraphy properly and also how to do painting and stuff. So that's what I requested for my birthday. I didn't do the calligraphy because I'm just so bad. My handwriting is terrible and I'm not very good at calligraphy. So that will be for later when I have the time to actually practice and stuff. But growing up, I used to love drawing. I used to draw and paint and stuff a lot. And I kind of wanted to go back to that a little bit. So I did the medieval illuminations and painting workshop with him. And so he showed us how to mix the different colors and so on. He talked through the whole process of making colors with pigments, but the medieval way. We got to choose our designs to trace it on like tracing paper and then put on like proper manuscript paper to then paint. And then we did some, the illumination part is the gold leaf thing that you do. But essentially the illumination part is a lot of those manuscripts, they would have like gold, very thin gold leaf that would be used to basically color in some of the letters and make the whole manuscript look really, really fancy. So usually it would be the very beautifully illustrated Bibles and scriptures and stuff that would have that. And yeah, so you see that a lot, the kind of gold leaf paper. And I was always curious about how that was done and so on. So we got to do some of that. And it was really fun. And I actually did a little short kind of video on Instagram, like a little Instagram reel that shows bits of the process. So
should I show this now?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So we'll walk.
Yeah.
There's Gwen.
Oh, yeah. And so I was back at the Ancient Technology Center back in Dorset, where they have a Viking longhouse. This is not the longhouse. This is the earth house that they have that looks like a hobbit house. It's amazing. And it's got this beautiful, like, ceiling flood, like the lights coming from down from the ceiling, because they've got like a hall at the top. So that's where we were for our workshop. That's the whole process of the gold leaf and the illumination bit, which was really fun to do. And then we mixed paper. We were using like oyster shells for mixing and stuff like that. It was really nice. It was very immersive because of where we were at the Ancient Technology Center. And I decided to also dress up. The tutor was dressed up. He always dresses up for those events. And he was like saying that if we wanted to immerse ourselves further and dress up, we could. So I was like, yeah, of course. Of course I'm going to dress up.
Of course, I have just the thing.
Yeah. And then it was so funny because he was playing like Gregorian chant type music in the background as well, while we were all like all painting and things, and it just felt like being in a medieval scriptorium. I just that's how I was there, you know, felt like a proper monk.
This is really cool. So, yeah. I wish we had things like this here, huh, Morning?
I know, right?
I'm
sure there are.
I try to find stuff like this, and there's just not a lot going on except for, you know, like the Renaissance Fair, the Dickens Fair, the Pirate Festival. Like, they do some of these types of things at those fairs, but there don't seem to be like events like this going on. Or maybe I just don't know where to look for them. We'll have to look a little bit harder. But of course, I'm sure we don't have these cool historical sites here either.
Yeah. So this site, I absolutely love it. I went last year. That's where last year I did the natural dyeing workshop, as well as the Viking cooking workshop. And they have lots of really cool cool workshops along those lines. So, yeah, really cool place to visit. And they have a full Viking longhouse. And it's a like a living history museum. So they build every building using the tools and the methods of the time. So they specialize, I think they have like a Roman villa, and then they have a Neolithic site where they have lots of little huts and things. They have like, yeah, so this is the longhouse, which is the Viking era one. And they have like another small building that's more Anglo-Saxon. And then they have the Hobbit House just randomly. That's pictures of the next thing that I'll talk about.
Oh, okay.
but yeah, it's a really beautiful site if you're in the UK in the south of England. And you're near the coast, definitely go check out. There's two beautiful places. There's the Ancient Technology Center with this one, which is a really, really pretty site. It's not open all year round. I think you have to kind of check on their website. They have specific weekends where they're open to the public. And then there's the Butser Ancient Farm, which is similar thing, but much bigger. And there they have multiple longhouses. They have a Bronze Age one, as well as an Anglo-Saxon house. It's a really big site and lots to see there. So yeah, if you're interested in history and archaeology and all that kind of stuff, those are really two great places. And they both do a lot of workshops like that. So you can learn like tablet weaving, flint knapping, all sorts of things like butchery, cooking.
On my bucket.
So many things.
I'm going to come visit Gwen. And we're going to go do this.
Yes. Yeah. I totally come over and let's do this. I slept in this longhouse, not this weekend, but not the weekend I went to this year, but last year when I did workshops, I did workshops over 2 days on Saturday and the Sunday. So I got to stay over in the longhouse, and that was also an amazing experience to be sleeping in a Viking longhouse.
Yeah. I need to get back to the UK. Making a living
wage on Twitch.
A lot of
sorry, say again.
When I start making a living wage on Twitch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
I'll be able to afford it.
Yeah. The last time I was in the UK was 2001. So that's 22 years ago.
Yeah.
So wow. You both were very young then.
Yes.
22 years ago.
Just say yes, MD. Just say yes.
I was in college, which is still, I guess, young, but yeah. Not very young.
Well, yeah.
So if you want to see the results, because I don't show the final results of all my painting and stuff, because I took my sweet time, so I didn't finish it all during the workshop, but then I went on holidays the week, the day after, so I took my stuff with me and I finished the painting. So if you want to see, this one was the test piece.
That's
so
cute.
One of the wacky, so it's one of the wacky stuff. This is based on an actual medieval manuscript. I don't know if I still have the paper. I don't think I have it here, but yeah, I traced it off an existing, a real thing. So yeah, someone probably like 700 years ago actually drew this on a manuscript at a much smaller scale, but I did it mostly to practice. And then the one that I did, the more serious one with the illumination, is this one. It's a knight on a horse, cool. And you can see the gold leaf.
Yeah, that's it's cool to get that reflection from the gold.
Yeah, so it was a lot of them are like that. So it's a letter that's embellished and it has drawings in it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't fully finish it. I still have to. There's still a few decorations that I want to do adding in the corners there. But was quite happy with how this turned out. For the little story, the shield I totally customized. On the actual original picture, that shield that the knight is holding was just blank. It was white.
Mm.
But I put the heraldry of my reenactment group, obviously.
Oh, cool. Well, so nice touch.
A little bit customized.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we did that on the Sunday, and then on the Monday I had the following week off, and with my dog and my partner we went over to Wales, where we pretty much spend most of our holidays, to be honest, especially holidays with the dog. It's just a really beautiful place, and lots of mountains and sea and beautiful sights, and not very not too busy compared to other parts of England, touristy bits. So yeah, went to Wales for 4 days and visited some cool Neolithic sites. I think all my holidays can be summarized by Wales or mountains, going to see old rocks, and going to see castles. That's pretty much the three main things. And going hiking and going for nice walks.
I feel like you and I could be life travel buddies and never be sad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I would do that all day, every
day. Delightful. That sounds perfect.
Yeah. So, yeah, lots of walking with the dog. We got lucky with the weather. I was worried initially because it was going to be quite rainy. It's actually been a really bad summer here so far in the UK. It's been really, it was warm for a while, and then now it's just been very rainy all the time and a bit depressing. So, but yeah, we managed to still have some good enough weather. If you go over on my community tab, I had posted some pictures. So we went and visited. I love going and trying to find things that look like things in Valheim, yeah. Oddly specific. So I went and found some Neolithic burial chambers. I just find it so funny that it's like, it's cool. It's like really amazing to see because these things are like 6, 7, 8,000 years old. And the fact that they're still standing is always super impressive. So yeah, the next picture shows one of them. Mm-hmm. And you can really recognize the shape and everything. Really does look like this stuff in Valheim, right?
In the meadow. Yeah.
Exactly. So that was one of them that had two burial chambers, this one and another one. I think there's probably a picture of me and my dog next to one of them. Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, me and my little pet wolf, my tamed wolf.
Yep.
Your
red-headed wolf.
Yeah. My little ginger wolf. So went to see that one, and then on another hike went to see another burial chamber that was nested between the sea and the mountains. Mm. And it's just a beautiful sight. So you can see the sea in the background there, and the weather was beautiful that day, so got really, really lucky. And that's another burial chamber. You can crawl in there.
Oh yeah,
quite spacious actually. Yeah. And that
might be a burial chamber. There's room.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. And I think there's another picture. Oh, no, that's me on top of a castle with my dog. yeah, so I'm telling you, rocks, hikes, and castles.
Yeah.
Three things to summarize my holidays. Yeah.
Well, it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was really nice. And then after that, it's been a really, really, really busy summer for me. I have literally no weekends free. I have two weddings to attend, and I was invited to both bachelorette parties, both. So that was like four weekends that were taken up by friends being married or getting married. but it was really nice. And then I also did some crafting at home, some experiments that I can talk about, and it's all kind of related to this this obsession that unless you've been living under a rock, I'm pretty sure you've heard of the new Barbie movie.
Barbenheimer, you mean?
Barbenheimer, exactly. I'm sure you have heard of that. And I honestly, before the whole Barbenheimer meme stuff, I had no idea. I had a vague knowledge of Barbie coming out as a movie, but I wasn't really following. I rarely go to the cinema these days, so I wasn't really following it. And then I saw the whole Barbenheimer thing, watched a few videos explaining the whole phenomenon, and then started watching the trailers, and then read the reviews or listened to like reviews of both movies, and it really made me want to watch them both. So I may or may not have went to see the Barbie movie last night.
I think that means you did.
Yes. And honestly, it was so good. Initially, when I saw, like, when maybe 6 months ago, they announced a Barbie movie and stuff, I was like, ah, yeah, probably not something I'll watch, whatever. But then listening to the reviews and hearing that it's actually not at all what you would expect from a Barbie movie got me really intrigued. And then I went to see it, and I was just laughing the whole time. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but...
I don't think my husband will deign to watch the movie, but we are going to try to go see Oppenheimer tonight.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's the next one on the list. But yeah, it's different. It's probably a lot darker.
Darker.
Heavier. They're like
complete polar opposites. I did see Oppenheimer, though.
Oh, have you?
Did you enjoy it?
So I love Christopher Nolan's style, and I like a lot of his movies quite a bit. Not a big fan of the Batman movies, but his other ones I really like. And so it has his really unique artistic style. So as a filmmaker, I really appreciate a lot of the things he did. And it's interesting, if you don't know much about the history, there's some great YouTube videos about the history, especially the channel Veritasium, the Science Channel, has a really good one that it just released because of the Oppenheimer movie. Mm-hmm. So it's good in that way. I appreciate the artistic style. But as a movie where you really connect with the characters and you feel invested and it's something like that you really enjoyed and may even want to see again in the future, I didn't really like it for that. But I did appreciate the history and a lot of the artistic style that went into it. Just it was removed from like the human emotion, right? Like you just didn't really connect. It's more of a spectacle and a little bit of a history lesson, but not so much like a really deep story about people dealing with things. And I was kind of hoping for that a little bit more, but it's very artistic. I mean, his style is very, very artistic. So I still recommend it. Like I say, yeah, go see it. It's an amazing like looking film and they do some amazing things, but yeah, you're not going to get really caught up with the characters and like, yeah, I want to go see this again in the future, but interesting. Recommended.
Are you going to go watch the Barbie movie?
When it comes out on streaming, I'm going to probably check it out to see what all the Barbenheimer is about, you know. But no, I won't go to the theater to see it.
It was very fun. And what I really loved is it's become a bit of a pop phenomenon. A good, I would say 70% of the people who went to watch it in my small local town were dressed up in pink. And I just love that. It's one of the first movies in a long time that people, you know, actually, you know, make an outing out of it and dress up and stuff like that. And I just enjoy that kind of stuff as well because, you know, it's nice. It's fun. I love dressing up. So, but I didn't. I opted against it because I was like, I couldn't be bothered. I had a long day at work and couldn't be bothered to get changed. So I didn't. But then I was like, oh, damn, I really missed out. Because everyone was.
Oh, you didn't wear pink and you felt left out.
No, I literally don't have anything I could wear.
I know you'd have to order something special.
A lot of pink. Yeah. Pink is really not my color.
No.
Yeah, I did see a lot of people in pink and like really interesting groups of women of various ages, you know, going in and out of the theater during that movie. So I think that. For as far as movie weekends go, like because of those two movies together and the memes that it was like the fourth biggest box office in the history of cinema because of those two movies. So that's pretty impressive.
That's a big deal.
Yeah,
definitely. So because of the Barbie movie, I only watched it yesterday, but this whole kind of Barbie trend got me inspired in a weird way. And as you know, I've been doing lots of different crafts related to history and reenactment for a while. And as I said, I think earlier, last year I did a natural dye workshop. And since then, I've built up a little bit of a natural dye display for my reenactment shows where I talk people through. I have like little bits of yarn like that of different colors. And I talk people through the different colors, how to obtain them with natural dyes of the time period and stuff like that. So I've got a little display and I have done a bit of dyeing both at reenactment shows and at that workshop, but I had never tried dyeing alone at home. And I have all the ingredients. I have all the dye stuffs and things to be able to try. And I just never really had the time or the project to get me started until I had this idea because of Barbie. I thought it might be fun to try to get some shades of pink because I do have madder roots, which is what you dye with to obtain like reds and oranges and pinks and stuff. And I have a whole, I don't want to spoil too much of the project, but I do have like a whole project and a video that hopefully will come out at some point in the next month whenever I finish that project related to that, but I've finally had like an excuse to try dyeing, and I can show you my results. So this is a piece of yarn that, so this is wool yarn that I've dyed at the workshop I did, and that's dyed with madder, but we didn't have much time. We only had the workshop for like a couple of hours, so you can see it's a very, very light pink, almost beige. And when I tried dyeing at home, I tried dyeing some yarn as well, and I left it for 2 days in the dye pot, and it came out this almost, red brick, almost brown color, which is quite cool to see. Like the same plant gets you those two different colors and all the shades in between. So this is on wool, and then I tried to dye some linen fabric that I had, that white linen fabric. And I got these two lovely shades of pink.
Barbie pink.
Yeah. Well, one is Barbie pink and the other one is Peppa Pig pink. So.
Oh, yeah. They are slightly different shades.
Yeah. One is darker than the other. I don't know if you see much of it. Yeah. So this one, the lighter shade, I left it in just for like an entire day, I think. Did I leave it overnight? I might have left it overnight, but it was just like a day max. And then this one I left for 2 days and a half. So the color is a little bit brighter, or a little bit more vibrant, I guess, or darker. Yeah.
Saturated.
So that's my experiment. That is phase one of my project.
Yes.
I won't spoil it any further, but
cool.
So watch out on my channel for a fun craft related, maybe Barbie related video coming in the future.
Awesome. Well, MD, you have some stuff that you've been busy with over the last 3 weeks too, right?
Well, we took the Amtrak train up to the Sacramento Historic Train Museum.
Mm.
And we took my kid. And so, yep. Nice. We took my kid on the train to see trains. Nice. And that was a lot of fun. We had lunch on the old paddle boat that's out there on the river. And on our way back, my wheelchair died. So my husband had to push me all the way back to the train station.
Yeah.
That was interesting. Yeah. But, preparations, best laid plans and all that. And then we started my kid on swim lessons this week. So that's been fun. My poor kid, I swear he has like less than 1% of body fat. He gets in the water and he just immediately starts shivering. So, but that's been a fun adventure in of itself, because we're going to be going to Tahoe, like I said. So it'll be good to get him to, have some familiarity and comfort in the water. And then, streaming has become a big part of my life. I just hit 1,600 followers.
Woo! Wow.
Congratulations.
Congrats. Yeah.
Which is wild, because I've been doing this for 16 months?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that happened. And then my stream team that I joined started doing a build competition. And so I've been working on a portal hub to support the people who are going to be doing the build competition. It started today. 8 entries from the community. And there's actually going to be a cash prize at the end.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's a $100 grand prize, $50 for second place, and $25 for third.
And who's hosting that?
So Crypto Wrench, who is the founder of the Fluffy Nation stream team, is currently hosting it.
Oh, cool.
And I'm running support.
Nice.
And then let's see here. I've been doing a lot about talking about Disability Pride Month. That was in July. So now we're in August, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, some of the things that people don't think about when it comes to accessibility, disability, all of that. What the month is about is embracing life, promoting inclusivity. So I recently posted a meme where the guy is shoveling snow off of the stairs and the kid's like, "Hey, can you shovel the ramp so that I can get up?" And the janitor is like, "Oh, well, I'll clear the ramp off as soon as I clear the stairs off for all these other kids waiting." And the caption at the bottom is, "Well, if you clear the way for accessibility, you clear the way for everyone. Because if he had cleared the rip, all the kids could have gone up. So, you know, promoting inclusivity, that sort of thing. Reclaiming a sense of identity. A lot of people with disabilities start to feel invisible or, you know, unwanted within the community. So just reclaiming that sense of identity. Redefining the power dynamic that is shaping our society. A lot of people don't understand how impactful it is that with a capitalist culture, your worth is determined by your contribution financially to society. And when you're on disability, a lot of times that's not where things are. So you have, socially, a lot of people feel like you have less value when you're disabled. So redefining that in our society is a really important thing. And reducing stigma and highlighting the importance of a diverse community, understanding what different perspectives and different experiences can do for a community and make it grow and increase the concept of compassion and that sort of thing. So we've been talking about that on my channel a little bit, and thank you for giving me a little bit of platform, Jira.
Oh, of course.
So yeah, that's what it's been about. And, you know, just saying, hey, this is me.
Yeah,
and it's great to have that platform. And as much as the disability doesn't define your identity, it is still a thing, right? And it is important to acknowledge that. So I really love that on your channel, you are very open about those things and give a voice to a lot of people who don't necessarily have the platform or the voice or don't feel comfortable voicing those things. So
yeah,
it's really important.
And I've been trying to, you know, definitely be like, no, it's okay to talk about this. You know, my channel isn't just about, oh, good vibes only. No, we talk about real stuff. We talk about heavy stuff sometimes, and then we have all the good lovey feels. And I don't know if it's because I've been so forward or genuine or vulnerable on my channel this last month or what, but it's the best month I've had in streaming. We broke 200 subscribers this month.
Oh, wow. Yeah, cool.
Which is huge.
That's,
It is.
Yeah.
That's a really exciting thing. And then last couple of, well, okay, a few more bits. I released my second and third YouTube videos. So I introduced how to stack ovens with just 3 floor tiles. And then
saving.
What's that?
Space saving methods for building in Valheim.
Very compact. Mm-hmm. And then this video is actually the tour of the set piece that I built for the video. And this one has spoilers, so just a fair warning. There are 3 pieces or 3 points in this video that show things that can only be built in the public test branch right now.
Oh, right.
I love that that's just the little set piece I built for this video.
Yeah, a little set piece.
You look at the thing and it's bigger than any of the builds that I've ever made in like 1,000 hours of my life. I've never built something that big.
Yeah. So some features that I've gotten here are the custom 45-degree staircase here. Oh, yeah. And then just don't look right there in the corner. We've got the... the bed is boring, MD. Stop looking at the floor.
I like the flooring is cool. No, I was just looking at the flooring. I like the chevron style.
And here's the chandelier that I built that people were really liking. And then the kitchen floor people seem to really like. I've got the drink cabinets over there on the side. We've got the couch setting over here, custom built couch with a coffee table. Mm-hmm. We got another chandelier in the entryway.
Nice.
And then we go and don't look at that. That's a spoiler.
Eyes closed.
And then, you just have that. The way I did the walls on this build is I really wanted to maximize the light. So I've got sort of a modern offset roof. And then I've got the vertical wall boards so that it really just maximizes that light impact. And then as we go back, oh yeah, this is the entry. These are the stairs. I worked really diligently on these stairs to do alternating stone pattern for a curved staircase. Mm-hmm. Man, that was a trick and a half right there.
Yeah, it looks cool.
And then I don't know if you guys noticed, but on the bar area, I actually had the forge cooler, the black forge cooler, and I had a whole bunch of meads stacked inside of it. So there's actually like a drink cooler on the bar over, it'll be on the left at this section, but I don't know if I felt this. Yeah, I don't really. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, you're going to fly by it again here. So not the best video editing, but I was crying at the end of this. So I was just trying to get it done.
Yeah, no, you got nice fluid camera motion going throughout too, which takes a little practice and.
Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, I had a lot of fun doing the videos, although I was also a little bit painful.
Yeah, I think you and I are the same in that editing is probably our least favorite part of those video products. Is that fair to say?
It's not that I don't like it. It's that I feel so completely out of my depth every time I try to tackle it that I'm learning so many new skills every single step that whenever something goes wrong and I feel like it's taking me, 40 hours to do something that would take other people 10 hours to do. And I keep getting interrupted because of my toddler and because of my family and all these other different things. So, it's just a lot. And then I'm going to be going to the Gravstein Apple Fair in 2 weeks. So that's me. And I'll tell you guys about that next time.
No, cool.
Yeah. Cool. Hopefully we get some cool pictures of the fair.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Well, let's see. So my summer's been pretty busy too, running around on the weekends, doing various things, but, I've been also trying something I've been trying to do for the last few months or planning to do. I finally got around to doing about half of it, and it's restructuring our Discord to make it more user-friendly.
Thank you for that. Yeah. I understood why the threads were a thing, and I'm so glad to not have them anymore.
Yeah, I'm getting rid of threads because I don't think those – or the forums.
Yeah. Threads is the new social media platform.
Yeah. but yeah, the forums, it's just not a great interaction with Discord. We tried the forums and put information in there and nobody could find anything. So we did away with those. And because of the dynamic of our servers, we had like lots of people playing Valheim, especially when I had like just the one server and the resource server. Everybody was on the same server. And there were lots of clans and lots of people running around. And so I started doing, you guys helped too. We had lots of different roles and different channels for different clans and guilds. And it kind of was a beast that got out of control. so we have so many channels in our archive now as I start to reorganize everything so that it makes more sense and open more channels to the public was really important to me. I want people to be able to engage. So if you like for our admins, or if you have your own Discord server, you can view your Discord server by the roles you have and see what it looks like for those users. So out of curiosity, I went and I viewed my Discord server with the everyone role. It's just anybody who comes to the Discord. And they saw a couple of channels only. I mean, we had like 40 or 50 channels, but they saw a handful of channels and none of them even related to Valheim. And people were posting in the public channel, is Valheim still active on this Discord server? It looks like it's dead here. I was like, oh, well, that's because everybody with the everyone role or even the elevated, if you agree to the rules, we had a Viking role. You still don't see hardly anything in the server because we have all these channels, but they were for members only.
Right.
And so people who come to our channel, they're like, oh, this is a dead Discord. Like, there's nothing going on here. Like, no. There's a whole bunch of hidden channels that you don't know about. Stay around and come and hang out with us. So I've got about half of it converted to public channels now, and reorganizing. And, We'll still have private channels though, for people who support, you know, my YouTube channel and my gaming servers and all that stuff, so that they can have some private conversations there if they want. But, you know, a lot of people love Valheim and they have questions. So, I invite you to come over now because you can see more channels. And actually, I haven't even the Valheim channels is one of the things, the last things that I have I have to tackle. I've actually restructured a lot of the other channels, including ones for various games. So because there's so many great games that are out there now and so many great ones coming up, people from playing Valheim, you know, because Valheim was, we're kind of waiting for the Hildur's Request update and, you know, the next biome. So people are off playing other games. So they were asking me to create channels for other games. So I did that. So now I have channels for 7 Days to Die, Minecraft, Baldur's Gate, Conan Exiles, Empyrean Galactic Survival, Enshrouded, Nightingale, a little game called Palia coming up soon. I think that's how you say it. Palia or Palia? Palia. Okay.
Palia. Yeah. I've applied for the content creator partnership with them. I haven't heard back yet.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like,
it usually takes them a while.
They did just open up closed beta, but they're going to have open beta, I think, starting on the 10th of August. So anyone who wants to try the game while it's in beta should be able to have access to it starting on the 10th.
Cool. Yeah. And then, of course, we got the Lord of the Rings Return to the Moria channel for that discussion. A channel for discussing, unfortunately, the single player game, but probably one of the biggest games that will ever come out is Starfield, right? Like, a company that spent 8 years on a game and is a huge company. So we'll see how that game does.
I have concerns.
I have lots of concerns too. About that game. And I'm hoping that at least a modder, if not Bethesda themselves, will try to make that multiplayer, because at least like a 4-person co-op or something. Hell, yeah. I'd even settle for one other person, right? If you could play a game with just you and one other person is like light years better than having to play it by yourself. And then, of course, PAX Day. And then we just have a channel called Other Games. So if there's a game that doesn't have its own channel, there's another games channel. And if there's enough interest, we can create its own channel for that. Because they're all in one category and you can just collapse it. If you're just a Valheim person, you could just say, yeah, collapse all those other games. I'm just Valheim. Thank you very much. Gwen's over there nodding. Yep.
So long. I'm waiting for the games that I want to play to come out in multiplayer, so then I can put in the request to add that channel.
And then we have it was suggested that we have an off-topic channel. It's now in our public, it's part of our public channels. So normally I've always encouraged people to just discuss gaming topics. We want to keep like controversial topics off the server, but you know, Valheim or other games, but some people, you know, they like to discuss like maybe their pets or the music they like or the movies they've seen and different things like that. And they were doing that in the public chat channel, but there was a request. So just for off-topic chats, to kind of encourage off-topic chat. So I kicked it off with a post where I say, let's talk about country. If you already love it, you know what you like. If you think you don't like country, then you likely aren't familiar with enough country music. So for those of you who think you don't like country music, here are some of my picks that I dare you not to like. And I'm already getting people messaging me telling me, oh, I kind of like some of these songs here. And I didn't think I liked country music, because really, country music is it's a little bit of pop, a little bit of rock, it's a little bit of everything, and it's, you know, with a little bit of the country styling. So come on over to our Discord server if you're interested to hang out, do some off-topic talking, talk about some of the other games. I'm going to post the links here. So it's right there, discord.gg/JurokTheViking. .com. Ignore that .com there on the end. That's not supposed to be .com. Yeah, I can actually change that right now. There we go.
Magic. No, not that.
There we go. Discord.gg/JurokTheViking, and that will bring you to our Discord, but then JurokTheViking.com will bring you to my website, which also has a link to Discord. So yeah, come on over, hang out with us. Let's see, what else do I have going on here? We have, so one of the big things I did for my setup here I have a new lens. That's why you can see everything now, because it's a variable focal lens. It's a 25 to 35 millimeter lens on my Panasonic GH5S camera, which is kind of a cinema camera that a lot of filmmakers use for shooting, because it shoots 4K in various frame rates. It's a really nice DSLR camera. And I'm just using it as a webcam now, because I don't make a bunch of filmmaking projects anymore, commercials, music videos, things like that. I don't do that much anymore. I just do YouTube stuff because it's a lot of fun, and I'm not working for somebody else. I'm working for myself now. So it's fun, but it does have some focusing issues that I'm still trying to figure out. I don't know if you can see. It like focuses and the lines kind of go in and out of focus. Like, see, as I move my hands, see how the lines are going in and out of focus?
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Like, Gwen's got a new camera too. But at least like when I want to show something, you know, in the front of the camera, it'll do that. But sometimes it has a hard time focusing back on my face. But I did update.
I think it's because of the sunglasses. It doesn't recognize your face because you're wearing a hat and sunglasses. Oh, I think you need to take the sunglasses off.
Oh, okay. Here, let me take the sunglasses off like that, Gwen. How's the focus?
now look at the camera.
What's that? Oh, I see what you're trying to do there. So that's been one of the fun things. Besides, the weekends are just like, I've been playing golf, but early because it's been so hot, and running around, and but we've been on the river a bunch of times, and I've been sunburned, and I'm actually still peeling a little bit a little bit of sunburn, even though, you know, I apply sunscreen before we go and then throughout the day, but the water rinses it off. So, but it's fun. I love it when it's hot, and I love to be outdoors if I can do a water activity, like go to a lake or a river or something, or the beach. But yeah, if it's just hot, there's my focus. It completely lost focus on me there. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it did that all of a sudden. So still tweaking those settings, but
no for you.
Let me just give you a quick gaming server update. So in my community, through my website or my Discord channel, we have, you know, several different Valheim servers, and right now the modded server is what people are playing on, especially while they're waiting for the Hilders request update to come, because that has, you know, a lot of new content that modders have created that's really awesome. And I encourage you, if you find a mod that you like, to support the modder. I support all the modders that I can support that who have a donation link if we're using their mods. But I have some new servers. I mentioned before I have a 7 Days to Die server, and that's actually set up completely by one of my admins named Kondo. He's been on the podcast, and he's around the Discord server lurking once in a while from Australia. So he updated it to Alpha 21, which is the newest update, and it's really cool. We're running the Navisgain map, which is the custom map that the developers did, and they can do generated maps too. Their custom map has some locations you can't get on the other generated maps, so we wanted to check those out, which is fun. But if you play the game just by yourself and you're not running mods, then you're missing out on a couple of fun things. So obviously you're missing out on the community unless you're playing on a multiplayer server like mine. And this is free for all. It's not just a supporter server. Everybody can join it. We have a player market. So it's a space built by Kondo where players can come and rent vending machines and hawk their wares. So if you have extra stuff, you sell it. And it's a great way to make extra tokens to go out and buy stuff from the traders in the game. And everybody, you can teleport to and from it too. So that's because, you know, getting around in the game can be a little tough, especially early if you don't have a vehicle. So there's teleports. He also built a player horde night fort. So it's a place, it's kind of like an adult playground, and you run around and try to avoid zombies. Yeah, it's like, like a jungle gym, basically, right? Like you run around. Okay. Gwen, get your head out of the gutter. Like a jungle gym.
Oh, sure, jungle gym.
Like a Viking playground. I know what you must have thought when you first came to the server. It was like, oh, it's a Viking playground, huh? But yeah, so it's like a big giant jungle gym type of installation that he built, where you can run around and jump from platform to platform and try to avoid zombies as they're climbing up the platform to try to get you. Oh, wow. And it's fun because all the players, they can teleport there, and that's why it's called 7 days to die, because every 7 days there's a mad rush of there's a blood moon, and it makes all the zombies go absolutely insane, and they get stronger and faster, and they start chasing everybody everywhere they're at in the game, and they'll destroy your building, your base when you're there. Look at Gwen. She's already like, no, zombies trying to eat me.
You know, a lot of the nightmares I do as an adult still involve some sort of either zombie apocalypse or some sort of apocalypse situation where, you know, like, where other people are dangerous and stuff like that. So I think that game is just going to mess with my mind so much. I'm going to be so scared playing it.
Oh, in October, we're going to do it.
Yeah, that was the plan. That was the plan, is for ramping up for Halloween. For Halloween month. I'm going to get into 7 Days to Die.
So he custom built that, so it's a location all the players can go to. And then for, you know, supporters of my YouTube channel, there's a couple of little extra things. There's a donor location. And so throughout the map, there's 5 traders, and they have their own bases throughout the map that's generated with the map. But he built a donor area, and there are 5 traders, all 5 traders just in the donor area. There's a bunch of vending machines, and there's all the workstations there. So if you want a little boost to convenience, I mean, you have access to all this stuff throughout the world. You just have to travel to them and build your own things. But if you want a little more convenience, you can go to the donor area. Or if you just want to support, you can just ignore the donor area and not get that. If you want to earn everything yourself too, that's always an option. But donors also get a home teleport, which a lot of people, when they travel all the way across the map, they don't want to just travel all the way back home. So you can teleport home.
Because there's no portals like in Valheim that you can craft, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we did it like unlimited home teleporting, but people would just go to a location, loot it, overload their inventory, teleport home, teleport back, continue looting, teleport home, unload, teleport back, continue looting. So they're like, wait a minute, this is making it easy mode. So you did get home teleports, but they're on 30-minute cooldowns, so you can't abuse the system.
Cheese it.
Yeah. And it's not as fun, because you miss a lot of the things that you'd be traveling around, because traveling around the world is part of the fun. And then I got my Minecraft server up and running. So I have an entire category on Discord for it. If you want to play, the IP address is there. There's no password. It's open to everybody. And I would love to get these two sometime on there to check it out. You're going to fall in love. Like, it's so cute.
Cubes.
I know, the cubes,
Is first person.
Yeah, and there is a third person option, but anyone who has tried the third person option will say no.
It's terrible. The third person option is terrible.
You can't see what you're doing. Like, I had someone try to tell me, oh, yeah, you just press this for that. And I'm like,
yep. Technically, it is third person, but it works terribly. Nobody really plays. You know what? There is one thing people use third person for, and it's when you're in your little boat. You have this little rowboat when you're on the ocean. Third person is great for that. But when you're your character running around, it really doesn't feel right.
You can't what you're doing.
Yeah. You can't see what you're doing. It's just, I don't know. I wish they would go back. It's like one of the biggest games in the world. Do you think they could go back and figure out a third person mode that is actually enjoyable to play? But they haven't done it yet. But our server is running a grief prevention mod, which is nice. So that you can create land claims. It's super simple. You place a chest down, creates a little land claim. And you use a golden shovel, you just click the corner, and then you can click another block further away, and it'll extend or shrink your land claim. And you can use the golden shovel to create extra land claims. And you start off with so many You start off with a certain amount of blocks that you can claim, and the more you play, the more you get. It's just part of the mod. It's built into the mod, so to reward those people who play a lot. And I've actually been playing with a buddy of mine that you probably both remember named Gloomshine. He's huge on Minecraft. It's actually what he's been doing while we've been playing Valheim. I mean, he goes back and forth, but he loves Minecraft. He and I, we found the cutest little village, and they have these little villagers running around. It was like in this perfect little, like kind of hilly, setting. So we made our base basically that village, and we even decorated it with the brand new cherry blossom trees, that they added to the game. There are these beautiful, like pink, leaves and flowers, and kind of a dark reddish pink trunk, like little pink petals fall off of it slowly. So it's just like the prettiest thing. It brings out the little girl in me. I love it. So actually, Gloomshine, he planted them all around the village, and so when I logged back down, I was like, oh, it's so pretty. It looks so cool.
Almost
it looks
like cool. You were in Barbie World.
Yes. Actually, here you go. We made a Barbie village in Minecraft out of the blossom tree. So it's fun. It's a really fun game. And I am going to drag some of you kicking and screaming there to see if you like it. Just like with country music, I'm going to prove to you that you like it. But
funnily enough, one of my friends who's an avid gamer told me about a game that's very much, it looks like a very heavily modded Minecraft. Mm-hmm. And it's apparently like a new or early access game called Vintage Story.
Oh,
no idea why it's called that, because the name doesn't reflect in any way, shape or form the game. But my friend was saying that this game is like, essentially, it looks a lot like Minecraft. It's cubes and all of that.
Yeah.
But it's got a lot more textures and stuff in the graphics. So it looks like a very heavily modded version of Minecraft. But apparently the crafting in that game is 10 times better than in Minecraft, where you actually have to physically craft the thing. So that friend happens to be a blacksmith, a trained blacksmith in real life.
And that's why they have that opinion. Because Minecraft's crafting is actually pretty satisfying the way it works.
Yeah, but I think it's quite basic, right? A bit like in Valheim, you just go to the workstation, yeah. You click on the thing and it makes the thing as long as you've got the materials in your inventory.
Yes.
But that game, apparently you literally, so he was describing me, what hooked him onto this game is the actual forge, how you do the blacksmithing. You actually have to pick up the tool, pick up your metal, put it in the fire, wait until it's heated. Yeah. And literally the crafting is you do every single step. So, yeah, he's been desperately trying to get me onto that game. And I was like, I'm always saying it's just the cube stuff. I really struggle with that kind of graphic. And I don't know if I can be convinced to play either Minecraft or any Minecraft-like games. I think even 7 Days to Die, the graphics are quite rough. But I think I can live with that because
the gameplay mechanics are so good?
Well, I don't know about that.
Or you like the theme.
But
I'm talking about Valheim.
More that it's it is a little bit more advanced than Minecraft. It's like the graphics are a little bit more detailed and stuff. But
ago, I said the same thing because Gloomshine was playing it, and he's like, "Yeah, there's this like long time ago, a few years after Minecraft came out, he tried it. He said, "Yeah, that blocky game, you should try it. I've been playing it." And I thought, I've heard about it in pop culture, and I thought, I don't want to play some kid's game that's all blocky and you just break blocks and place blocks. And then I tried it. And I was hooked. Especially they're so clever, so many of the different things they do. Just as one example, when you break a block, because everything in the game, you have to break it to then you get it and then you can place it somewhere else. Every sound of breaking something is the most satisfying sound that you want to break 10 more. It's amazing.
The same as like the pop of the silver veins and the copper.
Yeah, it's just like Valheim, it's like, so satisfying. There's like if you're breaking grass or certain like dirt blocks, it's just like this satisfying crunch sound. It's like, I don't know. It's just so you break a certain block. It's like thunk, thunk. Like it's just, oh, I want to break more, break more. In contrast, 7 days to die, when you go to a mineral deposit and you hit the mineral with an iron pick or the auger, that's like a big motor with a spiral metal drilling thing on it. When you hit the metal, it's just like ding, 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 ding. You have to like turn your volume down when you're mining because it's like this annoying high-pitched sound. And I just think, 7 days to die should go back and think about their sounds when you
sound.
Yeah, because Minecraft, I think they did this on purpose. I think there's even videos talking about this. It's like every sound is so satisfying. There's no sound in that game of you doing something that is like annoying, like you don't like hearing it. It's just very satisfying. So you're breaking stuff. Or like when you're harvesting your carrots or, you know, your farms, it's just like this crunch, 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 crunch. It's like more carrots, more crunchy sounds. It's just like, it's so satisfying. So if you want to play Minecraft, come check us out. Again, you can come to my Discord server, discord.gg/directtheviking. You can find that link on my website, directtheviking.com. And let's see, what else was I going to say? If you don't want to play, you know, Minecraft or Valheim or any other game on my server with my community, but you have your own friends that you want to play with, you can get a server from GPortal, and you can save 10% if you use my link, jirokthaviking.com/gportal. I don't have the link to put on the screen. I ran out of time for that, but it's in the description, jirokthaviking.com/gportal. You save 10% if you get your own server to play with your friends. But so we're featuring one new game per podcast. And one of the games I want to talk about today is a new game that's coming up called Nightingale. Did you both have a chance to watch that video that I sent about Nightingale? Okay. There's a really great YouTuber who does a lot of different coverage for content, and he covered that, and that was the link I sent you. That's not the link that I prepped for this, so let me just look that real quick. It was, this person right here, Guns, Nerd, and Steel. He has a great YouTube channel, 126,000 subscribers, gets lots of views on his channel. I'm going to pull him up, give him a little plug. Not that he needs a plug from a little channel like me, so he has this 16-minute video that covers this game, Nightingale. And you see that's a really cool looking image, but I'm not going to play his video. I'll just show you some stills from his, which are just taken from all the promotional videos that they've released for this game. But he has a great explanation of what's in this game. I highly recommend it. But what I will show while we talk about it a little bit is the trailer, that's the official trailer from the development team. And so this is a game that's set in the late 1800s. It's an alternate history of Earth when humans have met this race of beings called the Fae, these magical beings. And the Fae have revealed magic to human beings and, you know, changed the course of history as we know it. And basically shown humans how to travel through different realms. And you can see the portal right there. And so it's a Victorian setting because it's in the late 1800s, and there's a lot of beautiful artwork in that combined with the magic of the Fae. You can see the creatures, some of the creatures they're showing here. One of the most interesting things before I get into mine, MD, you had a chance to look at this. Can you tell me what, you know, looked interesting to you?
Yeah. So one of the things that like first stood out to me is that they talked about you can recruit both players and NPCs to community build spaces. And yeah. I love that idea. I think that's really, really neat. It looks a little concerning based on some of the video I was watching that structures were taken out in one hit by some of the monsters. So I was like, oh,
Well, there are giants, yeah, in the game that are like, I don't know, three or four stories high.
but that wasn't a giant. But the different design or the structure designs sound really cool. So they were saying that you can have different genres or whatever it was that they specifically said, but you can have different build styles that you can use. And I love that Valheim has given us wood, core wood, black marble, and stone. And they all have their own sort of different feel.
Yeah.
And so I love the concept that they're introducing different build styles here. And it looks like it'll be a little bit more comprehensive. So that does look, you know, as a builder, what am I, who's surprised?
Yeah.
And then let's see here. My one concern is that it does look like it's in first person, so I probably won't be able to play it.
You will, though, because the developers recently announced that they're going to add a third person mode. So hopefully it feels good.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. Okay. All right. Well, then I'm a little more interested. All right. Well, then also I think that bringing the Fae into the storyline can be really cool. It can be a bit tricky because the Fae are a fickle bunch.
Yeah.
And in any lore that you introduce them to, you know, like the Disney version of Fae is not the Grimm version, the Grimm Brothers version of Fae. So it'll be interesting along that sliding spectrum where they'll land on this storyline.
Yeah, they did mention that they're like kind of good, but some of them are kind of bad, or some of them are kind of mischievous. So
right, well, yeah, like the Winter Court, you could see all the creatures, like they were the things attacking your builds, and I'm like, okay, all right, I see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So it is a survival game for those who are, you know, if you're kind of wondering what kind of game it is. And originally it was going to be first person, as MD mentioned, but the players were requesting a third person, and it seems like enough people requested it that they mentioned that they're going to do it. So I haven't seen what that looks like yet in any of the promotional.
Power of the internet, on fans.
Yeah. But Gwen, you had a chance to look at some of this. Was there anything that looked interesting to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm such a terrible noob gamer. These kind of like open world looking things, I have very little to no experience. Well, I've never played any games like that.
Valheim's
just watched other people play.
But it's like Valheim.
Yeah, but I don't know. Is it? I don't know. This looks, watching the video, I must admit I was a bit overwhelmed. Like half the video, I just didn't understand what they were talking about. Like the whole, I know you're going to talk about that, but the whole realms cards and stuff, yeah, I was like, what the heck?
It's one of the most unique features.
And I was lost. I was completely lost. But I did, I mean, the key takeaway for me was, Victorian setting. That looks quite cool. I do like the outfits.
Yeah.
It's interesting how they're blending that with the kind of more fantasy style.
Yeah, like flying with an umbrella, like Mary Poppins.
Yeah, that looks quite quite interesting. I don't know if I'm not much into the fairy tale style fantasy stuff, but it looks interesting. But yeah, I was a little bit, I think for me, if you give me too many possibilities and if the game looks too complicated, I'm just going to freak out and not Same. Even attempt it. So yeah, I was a little bit overwhelmed by the depth of possibilities in this game. It's the kind of thing that if I was to play it, I would need to play it with other people that like help me through it, because otherwise I'll try for half an hour, freak out because I don't understand anything that I'm supposed to be doing, and then give up. So,
With like a lot of survival games and even like RPG or MMORPG games, when you start off like at the starter area and you just learn the basics, and then, you know, it gets more complicated as you go. And you've even mentioned that you like early game Valheim, probably because by the time you get to the end of Valheim, it's a little complicated. There's a lot of different armors and weapons and buffs and potions and foods and all kinds of stuff that kind of complicate it towards the end. And I think that video I sent you guys, he was covering like a lot of stuff that the game has. But when you start, I'm sure it's going to be, it's a survival game. So it's going to be like you start off with the basics, right? And you gather the basics and maybe you only have, if you fight with sticks and stones and, you know, or if you have magic, it's, you know, pretty limited magic at the beginning. You know, if it's something that looks interesting, cause basically it's like, it looks very much like Valheim, but in, you know, better graphics, you know, or better, that's like subjective. I think Valheim's graphics are amazing, but a higher detail, right? Like a higher resolution graphic and modeling. But it looks good, and it's a Victorian magic setting. So if that's interesting, you know, or not, as where Valheim is sort of magic Viking setting, it's like more magic than Vikings were even thought to be with their, you know, worshiping of the gods and, and shamans and stuff. But, so it's basically, you know, it's a survival game, but the really unique thing about this game is this realm cards and portal system. So the way it works is you can construct like an item, a realm card. So it's an item you craft out of various things throughout the world, maybe objects or magic or a combination of different things. We don't know exactly yet, but you create a realm card. And I believe you can create three different realm cards, at least from what I can tell. And you go to a portal and there you put them into the slots to activate the portal. And when you do that, the portal opens up a world that gets generated based on those cards that you put in. So you can kind of customize the realm, the type of realm that you want to go to. Like if you're looking for certain things, and you probably have to test it, right? Like you create certain cards, you play them, you go through and you think, oh, well, I like what that card added. So maybe I'll try that card with some different cards. But yeah, it basically, you know, just like the worlds of Valheim are generated different every time, it creates these different realms. So what's amazing about this game compared to every other survival game is every other survival game, if the world gets, you know, generated, you know, by an algorithm, you have to start over, right? Like in a brand new world. In Valheim, you can bring your character over, but a lot of games you can't. You have to start with a new character. In this game, you get a whole new world to explore and build in whenever you want, because you just put in these cards and it generates a whole new world. You go into that realm and it's a whole new that area that you're exploring. Something like, I think it's supposed to be like 2 kilometers by 2 kilometers wide each realm. So that's a pretty big space. You know how like we have for Valheim, we have like our permanent servers, but then we have a resource server that resets every once in a while. And people, every time it resets, they get a new world to explore. Well, in Nightingale, you get a new realm to explore whenever you want. You can just put in the cards and it generates, you know, through an algorithm, a brand new world. So it sounds great. But I don't know. We'll have to see how it gets implemented. No other game that I know of has done something quite like that. So that's what I'm super excited to see what they do with. So
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. Yep. So Valheim. Everybody's been waiting for us to talk about Valheim. That's what we're known for. Hilder's request release update. Let me pull up the Twitter post that they just released. Let's see, it's right here. So the official Valheim Twitter. Is it Twitter anymore? It's not even Twitter anymore. It's X.
No comment.
Let's not even go there.
No comment.
You know, I have tabs open up like always every time I start up my computer. And I saw this one tab and it had this ugly little black and white X, you know, black background with a white X on it. And I thought, well, what? I hope I didn't leave the wrong tab open. You know, I was like, what is that? Clicked on it. Oh, Twitter changed. My cute little blue bird has changed to this ugly X.
Yeah.
But
did they also reskin the UI or not?
Well, the icon in the tab and the icon, their main icon. I see the bird still appears in certain places, like in the app and In the email, I get an email update about something. Notifications for the people I subscribe to here or that I follow. But yeah, so Valheim said, we're back with all hands on deck again after summer. We've got a few more changes we'd like to make to Hilda's request before releasing it properly. So look out for a PTB patch soon, a public test branch patch soon. So if you're wondering, is it going to come out now that they're back from vacation? Well, not exactly. If you watch their updates, we're going to get another public test branch, and then they'll probably want to test that for at least a few days, if not a week or so. So probably this patch within the next week for the public test branch, and maybe the release within a week or two after that. That's my guess. So we're not going to like get it tomorrow or the next day. So that's the news for that. They're still working on it, and it's a pretty big patch. So let them do what they need to do to it. And then, so Iron Gate programmer Jonathan Smars, JS Smars, I message him every once in a while on Discord, especially, you know, because I have a big community and I do a lot of admin stuff. So some of my feedback is, pretty helpful. Morning Darkness and I actually were able to have dinner with Jonathan, Grimcore, and Luma in San Francisco yes. when they came to visit. That was awesome to get to
so much fun.
Hang out with them in person. And they're so much taller. I think I said that before. Then they all walked up and surrounded me when I was standing in line. I was like, I mean, I'm not super sure. I'm about average height, but they're all like really tall.
Little Swedes.
Yeah. So that was surprising. But so I had some messages with Jonathan about some other things and, you know, that like if I find a bug or something. But I made a request to him. And he said that he was going to strongly consider it, especially if it was an easy fix. So no promises, but Jonathan is considering enabling the stone portal that's in the game for admin use at least. I don't know if it'll ever come to the build menu for the players, but right now as admin, I can spawn in the stone portal. But it's broken. It spams the console. It causes a little bit of lag and it doesn't actually function. It won't connect to another stone portal or a wooden portal. But the modder Yere Kusala, he made a simple mod called Stone Portal, which you can download and install really easily. And you can build and place the stone portal, which is awesome. So I sent Jonathan the code. He actually asked for it. He said, can you send me the code? So I sent him Yere's code. So like, I don't know if that means that he's going to do it soon or later or ever, but he did say that he would consider it.
That's so cool.
So I don't know. I'll update you if I hear anything more, but, if you guys ever see Jonathan or on Twitter or something, message him and say, hey, I love that stone portal idea that Jirok mentioned. I can't wait to see it implemented. Maybe if he sees more of an outpour of, support for it, he'll do it because that thing is beautiful looking and,
it is.
I would even love to see the players be able to build it, but at least admins, because then we can use them for special things for the servers and player events and things. So that's that announcement. And then the big announcement I have is I want to do a new Valheim challenge event. So you probably noticed I haven't been putting out a lot of videos on my channel. It's because I have been studying a couple of other huge YouTubers' channels and their advice. And one of them is Mr. Beast. I'm like hooked now on Mr. Beast videos.
Oh, no.
But
it has begun.
Yes. So just like he gave one really important bit of advice. And I always figured this was true, but just like hearing it come from the biggest YouTuber out there, he said, you'll get more views from one video that you spend a lot of time and do really well than 100 videos that you just kind of throw together, you know, and you spend a couple hours on. So I thought, you know, because I at one point I was doing almost a video a day, sometimes two videos. And, you know, all have their entertainment or informational value. But I decided I'm going to do what he suggested and try to put together something really fun. And so I want to do a new Valheim Challenge event. I'm actually already working on it. It's a giant arena where two-player teams will scavenge resources from the arena. So you'll be running around through this arena, trying to find resources. Some of them will sort of be hidden in the arena. Some will require parkour to reach. So some people will love that. Some people will hate that. Maybe your teammate that you pick is good at parkour and you're not good at parkour. Or maybe you just avoid the parkour ones because there's going to be a time limit. You only have so much time to gather resources. And then some certain areas where you get resources, they're going to be protected by enemy creatures. So if you break down this wall to get the resource in the chest behind it, you'll unleash, you know, a bunch of the creatures that are in there. So I'm building this out. It's actually really fun for me now because I'm thinking like Mr. Beast, like what does he do with his gaming channel and his videos? It's like he's doing these exciting things. And I'm like well, I've done events for players. So I'm going to try to build this arena in a fun way for where people can run around and get their resources with a teammate. And then what ends up happening, you know, if you die because of the creatures, you can spawn back at a bed and you have to recover your corpse and all this stuff. And there'll be some rules and stuff, you know, about whether you can loot corpses or whatnot. And then take your resources over to your dump spot where you're going to need them for the stage two. So stage one will be requiring getting resources and stage two will be, what do you do with those resources? And so you're going to take all your resources found and then you're going to build a little fortress to withstand an admin spawned raid. Wow. So you have to think, okay, what are we going to spawn? What are the admins going to spawn? And how should I build my structure so that we can keep the monsters at bay? And the last team to survive will win. And I'm working on some prizes. So those will be determined as we get closer to it. And I have a tentative date scheduled for Saturday, August 19th. I'd love if you guys aren't gone, you know, to consider it. But I know the weekends are tough. And the reason why I have to do it on Saturdays, because that's when most people are available. It might move to a Sunday if that day also works for people. But then that kind of blocks out some of the Australians. So we have to.
Yeah, starting their week.
Already in their work week. And then it's, you know, it's a work day for you guys in Europe too and on that side of the world. So tentatively.
How long are you anticipating this event going for?
Probably no longer than 2 hours. It'll be timed. Yeah, they'll be.
That's very short for everything you described.
Yes. Hours? Yeah. Oh, it's going to go quick. I mean, for the participants, you might be there probably about 3 hours because of the setup. And there'll be some things that everybody will have to do. Like I need certain people to be able to stream, you know, like at least one partner from each team has to stream and record or not stream to the internet, but at least record and upload a video for me so I can use that to edit in to the footage of my Mr. Jirok the Viking video I plan to make out of this. But I think it'll be fun and I'll go from there, you know, to see how, you know, other future events might be. But, you know, we did sort of events, not exactly like this, but similar, just four people on the server. So I thought to putting it into a big event. But I want to people listening, and if you hear about this, I'll announce it on my in my community YouTube channel. I'm opening this up to everybody, not just members of the server. So and how to apply, because I can only accept so many teams. You don't have to be a subscriber to apply. I'm just I have a couple of guidelines where you just have to email me your team and there'll be some questions and I'm just going to basically pick who gives me the best answers. So if you're interested in this, hit me up on Discord or you can, my email address is in the about on my YouTube channel. And, I think it's in the description and, hit me up on Discord if you're interested. And if you have a partner, let me know. And, I'm going to try to make this happen because I think I'm already building the arena and it's fun. So I can't wait to see. Do you guys have any questions about it? Like besides the how long is it going to take?
Well, I'm just impressed because 2 hours goes by quick you're playing the game. I mean, the challenges and the
4 hours and we didn't have enough time to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if there's building involved where people have to build a base with that takes some time. You can speed run it, but still it requires some time. So 2 hours, a time challenge like that will be will be interesting.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And that's actually what the ticking clock is sort of a storytelling and filmmaking trope. It's like when you have a ticking clock, it raises the stakes and it makes everybody, you know, more anxious and run around. Like Valheim, one of the nice things about Valheim is that you can do very casual building and stuff in like the meadows or whatnot. But if you're in a giant arena where, you know, you're trying to gather resources while creatures are chasing you, and you're trying to, then you go to stage two and you're like, okay, build, and you only have so much time before the monsters release. Well, then, you know, that's something you have to
So are we bringing out our own characters? Are we making new characters for this?
So that's all gonna it's all gonna get announced. I have a whole procedure how to make sure that it's a level playing ground, and I don't want to reveal it because I don't want anybody to try to game the system by knowing the parameters beforehand. So like, okay. So when you and your teammate show up, I have every stage already planned out, and it should be pretty fun to see how it goes. So
very cool. And what time are you starting this on Saturday, the 19th?
So tentatively scheduled then, and probably like around somewhere between 12 and 1:30 in the afternoon for Pacific, and so that's what, like 8 p.m. around your time, Gwen. If 12,
yeah,
12 to 1 is like 8 to 9:30 p.m. in the p.m. for you, so. And who knows what Australia, they live in the future. They'll figure it out. I'm excited to do that and make a video out of it because Mr. Beast told me, make one big fun video rather than 100 little videos. So I'm going to give it a try and see how it goes.
I think it's either like 9 or 10 a.m., you know, somewhere around there, depending on what part of Australia you're in on Sunday morning.
Yeah. He's depending on the time zones. Yeah. They're like 6 or 7 hours.
Is it a bit earlier?
Yeah. They're six or seven hours before us.
We'll be like 5 in the morning.
Six or seven hours before us, but in the next day.
Yes.
Yeah. Sydney's like 9 hours ahead of me. Yeah. So that would be, like quite early mm-hmm. morning for them.
Yeah. So. Yeah, hopefully we can get some of our Australian and other players on that side of the world to consider signing up. I don't know exactly how many teams I can do yet. I'm building the arena, so we'll see. I'm thinking probably no more than 5 or 6. So it'll be 10 or 12 people. I mean, already that will be a little bit hard on the lag, having that many people. We'll see how many teams submit and then how the arena turns out. And maybe we'll run to, if there's enough interest, I can run the event again, and then I'll just have more footage to cut in between. So, mm-hmm. All right. Well, we've been here a while. I think that's going to do it for this week. Thank you for joining me, you two.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us.
I'm sorry. I'm so tired today.
Yeah. You're looking a little sleepy, but
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sleepy too. I just have my sunglasses on. You can't tell. All right, everyone, that's it for now. Have fun out there.